Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we're there now?
Welcome to Total Dudes with Zyguy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Zyguy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Zyguy and Rex. It's time.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Zyguy and Rex, the only show where two Total Dudes review one Total Diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop hunk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling theme, Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Bob Cratchit to my Ebenezer Scrooge, the Clarence Oddbody to my George Bailey, the Cindy Lou Who to my Grinch, the Kevin McAllister to my Arian Marv. So wish him a very Merry Christmas, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy, how are you going, Baba?
Not too bad here in the cold and damp Pacific Northwest.
Oh, is it cold and damp? Because it's pretty warm here.
It's cold and damp out here in the Pacific Northwest. Damp and cold.
We've had tornadoes in this area all day. It's been in the mid-60s.
Did it remind you of Kerry Von Erich, who in fact was a Texas tornado?
No, because this was an Indiana tornado, so it reminded me more of Roger Blade.
Oh, well, all right. I have not seen him in like a month.
An entire month? What did Roger Blade say to you when you last saw him?
He didn't really say anything to me specifically, but he was wearing a dress.
The best thing Roger Blade ever did in my mind was when, you know, I ran a promotion for a minute. We had Chris Hero in. And, of course, Chris Hero, he worked in, you know, the local area in the early 2000s, late 90s, what have you, when he was first starting off. And so he wrestled a lot in Vernon, Indiana, on the shows Roger Blade was on. So Hero comes in, you know, everyone's going up, you know, shaking Hero's hand, being polite to him, and then he was like, Roger, how you been? And Roger, like, totally no-sells him. Like, he has no idea who he is.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine that, because when I came across him in a locker room in Indianapolis once, I walked up, you know, being polite and everything, and he says, You were, like, bringing up Patch on that show I did 5 years ago. It's like when Turnbuckle first started and we promoted The Night for Billy and Roger Blade was on it, and Jason Ayers told me, make sure you ask him about Patch. So I did, and he remembered it and held it against me. He hit me with a steel bar or something in our match later that night.
Old Patch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
said
he had no idea where Patch was, and then he felt awkward, and apparently he remembered that. for the rest of his life.
I love when you bring up Patch. Can you describe Patch to the listening audience?
He was about yay tall, wore an eye patch like a pirate would, and he would dive into battle royals. Like if there was a battle royal, he was in it.
Let me tell you about a little about Patch. All right, so you know my friend Brad Lehman, he was training with all these fellows, you know, in the 97-ish is when he started. And so Patch was one of those guys also training at that time. So imagine, if you will, sign guy, you're a 17-year-old fellow like we were, and you are hanging around a person named Patch who is a crazed, drunk lunatic with an eye patch just powerbombing everyone to death. Just imagine it.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Like, do you think that guy was legally allowed to be around children like us?
Maybe that's why he disappeared.
Oh, man, Patch. And not only Patch, Roger Blade. What's your favorite Roger Blade match you ever saw?
The one I was in, because it was a 13.5-star classic.
You know, Roger Blade, he always said that when Perry Saturn and John Cronus were looking to do the total elimination, they needed someone to practice it on before they did it. Roger Blade was the one that they practiced it on.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Do you believe that?
No.
Oh, Roger Blade. Yeah, we bought his wrestling ring. That was whose wrestling ring we had. He told us it was a Mike Samples ring. And so we contacted Mike Samples to try to get some stuff to fix it. And Mike Samples was like, that's not one of my fucking rings.
Wow. Now, did you ever hear the story when Roger Blade and Patch tore down the HPW ring while a match was going on?
No, tell this one.
Well, this was like maybe a year into HPW, and
right.
Bobo Brazil Jr. and Diceman Ronnie Vegas are in the main event. They're wrestling.
Yep.
And before the show, Blade was told, you know, I won't need to rent your ring anymore because I purchased one of my own. And so,
right.
You know, the promoter just, you know, politely said, hey, I don't need to rent your ring. Blade was upset by this. So in the middle of the main event, he and Patch dove under the ring and started taking the ring apart while Bo and Dice were trying to wrestle a match. So the ring shifting and moving, boards going out of place while they're doing a match. They were not very happy. They were not happy at all. The Iceman was at the time probably 3 years removed for having broken his neck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was not pleased with that situation.
I would imagine this is the same ring that we later bought.
Most likely.
This is the same ring where Billy Rock wrestled Eddie Kingston. Billy Rock now is one of the, I would say he's definitely one of the top trainers in Indiana. I know it's hard to pick one between him and Ohio Valley. I'd probably still say Ohio Valley's better. But he's been turning out some great talent. And Billy Rock, at that moment, he was kind of, no one really knew him. He was on his way up. And he told us he was scared to wrestle Eddie Kingston because he thought Eddie was one of, like, Ian Rotten's hardcore, like, real strong-style wrestlers. So he was terrified, but he didn't know that Eddie Kingston was, like, a trained Chikara guy who's, you know, full-on, you know, great worker, lucha style, all that. So he got in there, had this great match, and then that's when Billy Rock met all the Chikara guys, became friends with them, and it's led to his connection to Chikara and everything. So we made Billy Rock. So how do you feel about that, sign guy?
I wrestled a Billy Rock student a few times. I once did a
Which
tag
one?
Team match. It was the Venture guys versus the Billy Rock trained team of Nate Stone and Dale Patricks.
Oh, two guys who are they're still around. Nate Stone's not around so much these days, I don't think. I haven't seen his name much.
I think he was kind of down in southern Indiana. He was looking to go down south the last time I spoke with him.
Yeah.
But
he the
Dale
last time
Patrick's
I think
still
one
around.
Of those. Oh, Dale Patrick's around still, yes. I think one of the last times that I was at Brad Layman's house, Nate Stone was there. So there we go.
Did he freeze when you brought up Seattle?
Do what?
Did he freeze up when you brought up Seattle?
No, I didn't bring it up.
Because he did in our match. When they announced him from Seattle, Dash Venture looked at him, and he'd only heard the name Nate Stone that very second, basically, because we got to the building literally 5 minutes before we went to the ring. And
where was this at?
This was up at WCWO. And when
Dash heard
Seattle, he looks at Nate and he starts asking all kinds of questions about Seattle. And Nate Stone just froze because he had no answer for any of it.
I bet it was fake because it was wrestling.
There might be a reason Dash Venture calls him fake Seattle Nate Stone.
So, enough about Roger Blade and Indiana indie wrestling. It's the scuttlebutt around the cooler, water cooler, sign guy.
Well, the scuttlebutt is Santa Claus will be coming tomorrow.
Yes. He will be coming to you after us, but yes, he will be there.
Yes. Now, do you have some fish you can prepare tomorrow? Because he enjoys fish. He told me this.
Well, he is of some sort of Scandinavian origin, so fish is great. I do have some, we've discussed it before, the fish I often eat on sandwiches. It's just some sort of white fish, I believe. I don't think Santa would really enjoy it. We probably have some salmon in there as well.
I bet he likes salmon. He says he gets cookies all the time. He really likes when people leave fish, you know, so he can get some protein.
That's a great source of protein, too. It's a brain food, man.
It really is.
Now, so Santa's coming. I know you have a present awaiting from this side of the Total Dudes studio. How do you feel about that present?
I'm excited.
Now, I know you haven't opened your present yet, but we opened the one we received from the Sign Guy family. And I think it was very astutious. It was a very astutious present, some scone mix and a lovely tea. Is that your favorite tea or what was your rationale for the tea you picked?
I don't know if it was my favorite, but that was like the signature blend that comes out of Pike Place Market.
Tell us about this Pike Place Market.
Well, Pike Place Market is an open market in the Seattle area. It's been around for 109 years now, and they're famous for the seafood vendors. They have a ghost that lives there. Lots
a ghost?
Yes, a ghost. There's a lot of independent restaurants and vegetable marks and all kinds of things down there. Starbucks started at Pike Place Market. They are grandfathered in. They're the only national branded company allowed to be at Pike Place Market.
Huh, that sounds quite interesting. So this is their signature blend and a nice scone mix. So it'll make for a delicious, I think we'll probably have it Christmas morning.
That sounds like a plan. Now the scones are the exact same scone that you could get at the world famous Washington State Fair.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is there any special preparations you know, or just follow the box mix?
Follow the recipe on the box mix, and that will give you an extremely close approximation of what you could get if you were to show up at the Puyallup Washington Fairgrounds in August and get a scone.
Yes. Huh. Well, we very much appreciate it. I think the best part is that you had to go to the post office, deal with that crowd, and pay $11 to mail us this. How did you feel about that?
Well, I felt it wasn't that big of a crowd that time.
Yeah.
I went. I'd been in much bigger crowds, so I was glad it wasn't any bigger than that.
Yes. Here in Columbus, the post office here, they decided in October-ish that they were going to start construction on the parking lot, and then that they would finish up the parking lot and keep it closed, finish it up sometime in January. So the parking lot for the post office is closed during their busiest time of the year.
Yes.
No real point to that. No real point. Hey, but we got some big news. Did you see the big news that came out this week, Sign Guy?
Perhaps.
What do you think the news is? Let's see if you can guess. This is a contest for only you. Can you guess the news I'm about to disclose?
Bertha is back in business after a 2-year break while they tried to find the right part to fix her.
No, that's not the news.
Funding fell through
also
for a new multi-purpose arena in Seattle.
No, the news is also not that Purdue, the number one team in the nation, lost to Butler and is now ranked 14th. It was not that either.
Nah.
You want to know the news?
All right, go ahead.
Total Divas Season 5 premieres Tuesday, January 19th at 9 p.m. Are you excited? January 19th, they're back, brother.
Season 5 already.
All right, let me read this. I got to read this news. The Bella Twins, Eva Marie, Paige, Natalya, Rosa Mendez, and Alicia Fox will continue to give viewers an exclusive glimpse outside the arena and inside life in the WWE spotlight. Joining the Divas this season is the young and beautiful Mandy, the runner-up on the most recent season of WWE Tough Enough, who brings her own flavor to the already vibrant group. Now Mandy must prove she can hold her own against the veteran divas in their highly competitive world. This season has a lot of conflict with her sister Nikki, can you imagine, as their lives and careers go in different directions. Bree and Nikki don't see eye to eye on a huge business venture, and when Nikki gets injured during her final days as Diva Champion, it leaves the Bella Twins' career in question. Bree has to contemplate her next career and life move, while Nikki wrestles with coming clean to her boyfriend, WWE superstar John Cena, about the romantic advances made towards her by her ex-boyfriend Dolph Ziggler. This love triangle puts John and Nikki's relationship to the test. All this and more starting January 19th. Fine guy, are you ready for that?
That's a lot to absorb, especially the Rosa Mendez part, because didn't she leave the company?
No one knows or cares.
I bet Zane Paisley cares. I bet he'll have a meme about it tomorrow.
I bet he doesn't care at all. Let's make a bet. Well, does Zane Paisley care about Rosa Mendez's exit from the company? Sign guy says yes, I say no. We'll have that bet answered tomorrow. But right now, I think it's about time to...
Whoa, wait, real quick. There is also a contest that we need to finish out.
Oh, you're right.
Because Zane Paisley, as guest host, initiated this. I did a random pool of names out of a hat. The winner of the contest, Beast Barnett.
Oh, who did he pick?
The Hogan Kids.
Oh, he needs to... But they're like grown adults.
Doesn't matter. They're still Hulk Hogan's kids.
So he thinks Zane Paisley needs to babysit Brooke Hogan.
Yes.
All right, I'm into this. I'll watch it. Hey, Beast, you're the winner, brother. Congrats. But, you know, I did you hear that? What is that sound?
I don't know, but I'm getting a little scared.
It sounds like chains. What's happening?
Ooh.
What? Oh my God! Is
ooh.
What? Oh no!
Oh, they can you see by the
oh, sign guy!
Night.
I know who it is. It's just JoJo, the time traveling mole baby.
Hey guys.
Oh, it is episode 42.
Yeah, JoJo, how are you doing, JoJo?
Oh, I'm pretty good. A little tired, but I'm good.
Why are you tired?
Oh, just all this traveling around and the holidays and everything. It's like I have to be in like a million different places at the same time. It's really difficult. So
wait a minute.
You know,
are you how Santa is able to get around?
Oh, I don't have anything to do with Santa, but he uses a similar method because, I mean, think about it. He can't be in that many places at the same time. So he has to use some sort of time travel thing. I don't know. I've never really talked to Vinny about it.
I thought perhaps you helped him as his, like, pseudo-Rudolph, just sitting next to Santa in the sleigh in your mole form, enjoying the time-traveling trip to all the children of the world. But
I wish that I could. Maybe one day he'll invite me. But, you know, I try to stay on my mission of helping the WWE. So I try to stay out of anything else, you know, because I don't want to mess with the time equilibrium and all that stuff.
Fine guy, what do you have to say to JoJo?
Can you get a message to Santa Claus and remind him that I have two chimneys, and he needs to pick the one that goes to the fireplace, not the furnace.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I've seen these, like, little lights that you can put up on your chimney. This is, like, Santa come here or something like that. Maybe you should get one of those and put it on top of your roof so that he knows. But I can try to tell him if you can't get that accomplished by Christmas.
Well, I usually try to verbally remind him, but I don't know for sure if I'll see him tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, if I happen to come across him and all this stuff, because it gets pretty wild around this time of year, time travel. So, you know, there's always like the goes through Christmas past and all that stuff. So, you know, it gets a little intense in the time travel world around this time of year.
Anything else you want to ask for sign guy? I mean, we got the time traveler here herself.
Can you tell us what Rex will get in his stocking for Christmas? So I'm sure he wants to know.
Well, no, wait. I don't want to know what I'm going to get for Christmas. I want it to be a surprise, sign guy.
I won't spoil any Christmas presents or anything like that. I mean, that's just mean. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to mention any names, but somebody is a gun jumper and already opened some.
Oh, man. Rex, did you already open your Christmas present from Sign Guy?
No. JoJo, you know, it showed up here in this beautiful, like, zebra blue print envelope, and I opened it up, and there were these beautiful presents, and no one could blame you for that, right, JoJo?
I don't know. I would say you could probably
pause, JoJo.
A few days.
JoJo, time travel real quick and go back in time and look at that wrapping, okay? Will you do it? Ready? Go. Okay, what'd you think of it, JoJo?
Oh, I thought the wrapping was gorgeous on the present, but I saw that you, like, destroyed it when you opened it, but, yeah, you probably should have put it under the tree and opened it on Christmas morning.
Yeah, you're probably right, JoJo. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, I think that both of you have made some mistakes, and, you know, I mean, I never want to be ruining anything for the future, but you know, I do kind of feel like I came here for this episode for a reason, and I feel I was here, you guys had asked me to come, and I just kept feeling like, you know, I needed to warn you guys about a few things about the future.
Whoa, wait. So you're like our time traveling little baby of Christmas future?
Yeah. What have we done wrong
in our lives, JoJo? What are you going to show us? Sign guy, I'm scared of these visions that we might see.
I was scared of the change.
The change was scary.
Sorry, guys. I just did that as like a seasonal thing. I was joking around. But, sign guy, I feel like, you know, you need to be careful about bringing back your wrestling Facebook games from 2013. I feel like that could be like a really dangerous thing that you're inundating Facebook with like that many wrestling posts. So I want you to kind of be careful about posting that again. And then I wanted to, like, tell you that you should probably watch out for – there's this wrestler, and his name is Floppy Slade Sludge, and he might ask you to be his manager, and I'm going to tell you that you should probably say no to that offer. Even though it'll be very appealing. But you could possibly offer that position to our friend who's been in the hospital for a long time. So, you know, we might think about her in that situation. And then also, I kind of was thinking about the future, and I saw something about Casey Carlisle. I think maybe... In the future, you probably should, like, back off of all of the pictures of her that you do in your shows. Because I think eventually she's going to feel a little bit threatened by that and maybe file a restraining order.
She hasn't yet, and she's sending more this week.
But sign guy, guess who knows the future? Is it you?
It would be JoJo. I'm just saying that future has not arrived just yet.
But do you want? That's
just,
why she's here.
I don't want to change the future. I'm just telling you guys a few things to kind of be careful for. You know what I mean? Just to watch out for. So I was going to tell Rex a few things, too, because I feel like he's got a few things that he needs to watch out for. I feel like in the future, he needs to go to the eye doctor and get that 20/20 vision that he was talking about earlier. I feel like that's a really important thing because his vision is not very good right now. I think in the future you need to, in the near future, I think that you need to go to the eye doctor and get that looked at. So
but JoJo, would you call it the nearsighted future?
It could be. Then the other thing that I wanted to talk to Rex about is the situation with Derek Mack and having him on your show. I think you just need to be careful sometimes about the things that you might say about his daughter, because I feel like it's possible that he could be traveling somewhere around Indianapolis or somewhere and doing a show, and he might come to your house and kick her off just for talking so badly about his daughter. So I want you to think about that. And the fact that you keep saying stuff about Levi's jeans and, like, promising their products as prizes and saying they're sponsors of the show and stuff, you probably want to back off of that because, like, Levi's has really good lawyers that you don't send. Because
so
at
I
least
should
sign
just...
guy sends presents that or prizes that he promises.
But JoJo, I love Levi's.
Well, I understand that you love Levi's. But I don't know that they love you, so you might think about that.
What?
The last thing that I wanted to say to Rex, though, was that your wrestling T-shirt collection is very impressive.
Thank you. I've been trying.
It is extremely impressive. I think of a lot. Yes. I think people saw how many wrestling shirts you have. And you're going to be getting in the future with your orders that you have from WWE that are coming to your house soon. I feel like you need to think about where you're going to store those things because it's becoming kind of a problem with, like, your drawers not shutting. So just kind of think about, like, do I really need that wrestling shirt? Do I really need this WWE shirt? Because you give them an awful lot of money that they don't really need. So just that's just the little tips that I have for you guys as the Ghost of Christmas Future time.
Oh, JoJo, what'll happen if I don't stop buying wrestling T-shirts?
Well, I think what's going to happen is, you know, eventually it's going to get so massive that you're going to, like, move into, like, the rooms where, like, your children are and your wife and things. And, you know, you don't want to be on one of those shows about, like, hoarders and stuff. And, you know, you're kind of a wrestling t-shirt hoarder. So, you know, just a little intense sometimes when you're folding laundry. And I see that, and it's like, another wrestling shirt or another Pacers shirt, like those are the only things that you wear. So you might think about, like, I don't know, changing up your style a little bit to, like, something a little more professional or something like that instead of the 5 million wrestling shirts you wear.
What do professionals wear, JoJo? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, like button-up shirts and pants and things that aren't just Levi's jeans.
JoJo, this has been really eye-opening. I really think I have to change my ways or else I'm going to end up like that future me.
Yeah.
JoJo, I want to move my T-shirt collection.
How many wrestling shirts do you own, Sign Guy?
Several. I'm going to guess it's above 30.
Oh, wow, that's not many.
But, you know, she never mentioned it, and it kind of hurt me in my left kidney.
Well, that's because yours is not as ridiculous as mine, apparently. 30 is what I had 10 years ago. Just saying.
All right. I
JoJo,
said above 30.
Other?
I didn't say it was like a minimum of 30.
Well, you say a lot of things. I don't know if I believe you. You need to go count them. Let's go count our wrestling shirts while this is... I'm going to go count my wrestling shirts.
Why don't you, after the show, count your wrestling shirts and then post it on the Total Dudes website?
Oh, is this a new contest, JoJo?
Yeah, let's have a contest to see who has the most wrestling t-shirts between Sign Guy and Rex.
Could you go to the future and bring us back a prize?
Sure, I'll bring a prize to one of the two of you, whoever has the most wrestling t-shirts.
But who's the winner? The one that has the most or the one that has the least?
Since I work for WWE, I'll say the one that has the most.
Yes. All right. Well, JoJo, Sanga, any other questions for JoJo? She's given us a chilling vision of the future if we don't change. Do you have any thoughts?
I think my
questions
are answered. I'm still trying to recover from the previous kidney hurting.
Sorry about that, fine guy.
JoJo?
Yeah.
I really think you put us on a path for a change here.
Good. You know, you guys are my friends. I have a good time, you know, like hanging out with you guys and stuff. So,
But it's a chilling vision of the future. And, you know, no man should really know that much about the future, but I'm glad we do, so we can keep Sign Guy from getting that restraining order, and we can keep me from dying under a pile of T-shirts. So this has been great. Anything else, JoJo? You were singing beautifully in your entrance. At first, you were sounding like a horrifying ghost, and then it turned into a beautiful.
Well, thank you. I just, you know, like I said, I just did that as a goof since it's Christmas. You know, I just came here and wanted to talk to you guys, and you wanted me on this episode to hang out and do a total dialogue with you, I think, too. So, you know, that's about it.
Oh, you'll stick around and do total dialogue with us?
Yeah, I would love to. I'm sorry. I saw that in the future that I was going to do that. So,
Sign Guy, do you think we could incorporate her in a total dialogue?
I think so, because this is the most appropriate total dialogue ever for JoJo the Time Traveling Mole Baby. Perhaps out of every episode ever, this is the most appropriate one.
All right.
Well,
awesome.
JoJo, why don't you say the words that need to be said to make this start?
Is it hit the music?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
This is the segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched. We transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene is a special one because we have Sign Guy as Eva Marie. That's not so special. But
Whoa, are you sure?
Yeah, you're not very special. I mean, you're special, quote unquote, to somebody.
Wow.
You're special to me, Sign Guy. Special, quote unquote. But more importantly, JoJo, the time traveling mole baby, do you think you can portray your legit mother, Eva Marie? Well, I guess she's not your legit mother. She's your mother.
Yeah, she's my
mom.
Yeah,
she's your adoptive mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do her. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to.
JoJo, the time-traveling mole baby, shall be her mother, Eva Marie. And I will be JoJo's best little buddy, carries her around in his pocket, feeds her old treats at the grab table of the game, Mark Carano. And scene.
Ooh. We never get called into here.
Yeah, I know. It's the good girl's room. How you doing? What's going on?
I don't know. You tell. Us?
We have an opportunity we want to run by you guys about making you guys a tag team.
No way.
Because here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're doing. We want to take advantage of your star power and put you guys together. Two is always better than one. You think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
We just don't know exactly. So we need you guys to think about it. Go home. Have some ideas.
Oh, we can have ideas? Yeah.
And scene.
Wait.
Before
what?
I ask you something about what this was, I just
want
to say, JoJo.
There's more.
You're missing
more.
Half the dialogue.
Oh, my God. How did I miss out the dialogue? All right. Okay. What is it? Oh, my God. Everything's going wrong. Somehow I missed half of it. Hold on. I'll get it.
Gosh, I
just,
knew
this happens. Is like, what do they call in a play when they take the, it's an intermission. This is a set change.
This has never happened, JoJo.
This is a set change.
I should have warned you guys that I was going to do this.
And you did know, JoJo. And
I know.
Why didn't you warn me, JoJo?
I'm
God
sorry.
Damn it.
I'm sorry. I thought you... I don't know.
I'm just going to feed you
things.
Trash tonight, JoJo.
I can't change things, okay?
And, and scene. I'm talking color schemes, costume ideas.
A little red and gold action?
Yeah.
There you go. The Funkin' Dackles are great. The Bella Twins are great. Yeah, it's all true. But it's also business. I'm looking out for you guys, so that's number one.
Okay.
Thank you for coming by.
You almost broke my hand with that handshake.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You're so strong, Mark.
Thanks so much. I gotta pack the bags. You're good to go.
Yay!
End scene. JoJo. Unbelievable. Unbelievable performance as your mother.
Thanks, guys.
I thought Eva Marie had joined the show.
Well, you know, I have had a lot of time around her, so, you know, it's easy to portray my mom.
Sanga, any last questions for JoJo before we let her carry on with her, scurry on, I meant to say?
Yes. A couple of episodes ago, we reviewed the episode that might have been the most important for you personally, JoJo. It was the first appearance of the yet, as of then, unnamed heart-shaped uterus. What were your feelings of seeing live pictures in the doctor's office of your mother, Eva Marie's, at that point named misshapen uterus?
Well, I mean, I knew about all that stuff because that was one of the reasons why they used the surrogate mother with the mole baby and stuff. So, I mean, I knew that my mom has a heart-shaped uterus and it was hard for her to have kids. So, you know, I knew about all that stuff and, you know, it's hard to watch because, you know, you don't want to see your mom going through like bad stuff and everything. So, but she did good and she came through all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of awkward to have it on the show, but like a lot of people watch and stuff talking about your uterus and your period and all that stuff. But, you know, it all works out in the end.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, JoJo, thank you for joining us. I'm glad you could. That horrifying vision of the future will really, really change our lives. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, guys. And as always, I love being a part of the show. So thank you for having me.
All right, JoJo. Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Sign guy. That was horrifying to see what
those
our future
chains
could become.
Haunted me.
To see what our future could become.
It really is. And it's scary because why would you file a restraining order if you're still actively mailing out the pictures? Why wouldn't you just sending them?
Something must happen, Sign Guy, and I think we have to really think about ourselves, take a deep look in the mirror, you know?
Is that a Michael Jackson song reference?
I'm looking at him. Man in the mirror. And I'm telling him to change his ways, you know? Whew, haunting. But let's get into this show. All right, we got to do this. We got to move along. We got things to do. I got people coming over in 15 minutes.
I'm going to guess it's Alomar and Sean Critney's mother.
It is neither. It is my good friend Cody, who guest of the show.
Aha,
remember
I was
Cody?
Close.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's in town for the holidays. He's coming over to drink some beer with me.
All right.
So, let's see. Let's talk about this show. Why don't you start us, Sign Guy? I don't even know where to begin.
How about with Whom I Hate?
Go for it.
My number one by
it
a
has
wide
to be Cameron.
Country. No, it does not.
I guess.
By a wide
it has
country
to be Cameron.
Mile. It does not. By leaps and bounds, more than any
Cameron.
Other person on any other episode ever, Trinity.
Cameron.
Trinity.
What?
Trinity. How
okay, you
dare
got
she? This was the episode when they mocked me for having broken my face with Trinity breaking her face. They're like, oh, that guy nearly died and traumatized Beast Barnett and the Van Zants for the rest of their natural lives. Let's just
wait,
put that on our
right
TV.
Episode? Wait. What? Well, was this, which episode, was this the episode with Natty's art and all?
This was the episode where Trinity broke her face and a clear response to me breaking my face 2 weeks earlier.
Wait, though. Was Natty's paintings on this episode?
Yes, Natty's paintings was on this episode.
And Cameron was on here trying to do the paparazzi?
Yes.
Okay, I don't remember this Trinity stuff. All right, go on.
Yep. Well, it was like she was not even in any of the storylines. They just showed like unusually large sections of her matches, and then they did the deal with her copying my broken face. Or like, oh, my orbital bone, it shattered. I almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And then they laughed, and they said, just like Sign Guy, ha, 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 ha. Mocking me is what they did. That company always mocking my injuries for no reason. That's why she is number one on my most hated. She could have said, no, I won't mock Sign Guy. He nearly died. The Van Zants are traumatized for the rest of their lives. We shouldn't mock that, but she did not. She just went out and mocked. Mock, 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 she did.
Well, I'll tell you what. Derek Mack's probably going to join the show in the next few weeks, and we'll ask him about this, and if he can help us understand why this happened, because this really does not seem like the company that wants us to be a star.
You wouldn't think so. They also mocked my broken leg. They said, let's take the former booker of HPW, break his leg, and we'll have the former head referee in a segment with him.
Former booker of HPW?
Yes.
Which one?
Dutch Mantel.
He was in there?
Well, he had his leg broken, like in a later mocking of me. That's what they did.
He was on this episode, too?
Not this episode, but a later
one.
They did the mock. Trinity started the mocking of my injuries. Try to keep up.
I'm trying. I'm trying so hard. Okay, so Trinity. Now, can we talk about Cameron?
Sure.
Why don't you hit that song?
One second here while I scroll up.
Yeah, we need to hear it to get into the mood for Cameron. Oh God. Oh Lord. God. All right, let's discuss this song. Have we discussed this song before on the show? It feels like we have.
Well, yes, because a few episodes ago is when they
first...
I don't know if she was even recording it at that point. She was like in the process, I think, of getting it to the producers, but she had made a demo of it, and they heard the demo.
So this episode is about how she's preparing for the release of it, and she wants to find the paparazzi. But before we get to there, we have her and Vinny singing the song in the car. And I want to discuss the lyrics to this song, okay? You know it's time to go. All right. You know you got to go somewhere. You know it's time to blow. What does that line mean, fine guy?
Well, because sometimes people have sinus issues.
So this song is about the awareness of proper nose blowing.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I think you're right. Because a few things you should know. I'm about my paper, baby. Perhaps she calls Kleenex paper.
Yes.
You know it's time to go. Okay, now here's the bridge. Classy and ghetto. When I hit this dance floor, all you hear is give me some more. I know you want to touch me. Okay, so classy and ghetto. Okay, I get it. It's a typical, you know. But things don't go together sometimes. You're classy, but you're ghetto. You're a jumbo shrimp, you know. It's a classic, what are those called? Onomatopoeias. What are they called?
Misnomers?
No, that thing, like a jumbo shrimp or a, you know, jumbo shrimp is the classic one. Oh, God.
Appetizer.
Damn it. Yes, the appetizer. Let me look here. God damn it. God damn it. God damn it. Oxymoron. God damn it. I'm the oxymoron. So the classic oxymoron to start off. Classy and ghetto. She's classy and ghetto. Oxymoron. When I hit this dance floor, okay, so she gets on the dance floor, all you hear, as in the person listening, not her, the dancer, all you hear is give me some more. So who is saying give me some more? Is it her saying it while she's dancing? Or is it some random person off the street coming up to you while she's over here dancing? They're telling you, give me some more. Maybe they're holding you up. What is this song about, fine guy?
No, you hear Ariane saying, give me some more because she needs more paper for the nose blowing.
Her runny sinuses. I know you want to touch me. They look so sprung. They sound so dumb. They all
her
think
sinuses.
That they're the... Oh, this is... I forgot about it. This is a song where she says, you know I like sex. Remember that?
Yeah, we discussed that vigorously.
Does she like sex, hun guy?
No, she told Dr. Milrod she did not.
Because Vinny's dick was too big and it hurt her, right?
Yes.
Vinny's big old Armenian cock just tearing up. But she likes sex, but not more than big checks. Like the big checks they give you when you win some sort of contest, like not a real check, like those enormous, overly sized fake checks?
No, like a guy from Czechoslovakia who's abnormally large.
But he's from Armenia.
Maybe she doesn't like Vinny as much as she does Czechoslovakian guys.
Who's Jaromir Jagr? Is he Czechoslovakian?
He might be. I'm thinking, the late Drazen Petrovic, maybe?
Oh! Oh, my God. Is this song about her having sex with a dead body?
That's where the sinus issues might come up. All the, like,
all the formaldehyde.
Gas coming off the bones and such.
When I shake my ass in Tamichi, maybe a hoodie and a white tee. Okay, when I shake my ass in Tamichi, okay, I get that phrase. You might put a comma. When I shake my ass in Tamichi, comma, maybe a hoodie and a white tee. How is that a sentence?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe a hoodie and a white tee is what she's wearing to the doctor's office to get some penicillin for the sinus infection.
Well, that's her song. penicillin. Yeah, for a sinus infection. So she's singing that song in the car, calling Vinny Lil Noodles. And she wants to get the paparazzi, is what we find out. She needs these paparazzi to make her feel validated in her life. So there's this amazing scene of her and Vinny walking around looking for paparazzi. And he's like, look, there's a paparazzi. Look, there's a paparazzi. It's great. And they take all these pictures. She gets on her phone somehow looking for herself. She's like, huh, no pictures of me on my phone. And then, like, wait a minute. Those paparazzi are there because they were taking pictures of Kim Kardashian, a person that's actually famous. So her idea then to get the paparazzi is she brings on board human scumbag Ray J to the gym with her. Do you know this Ray J sign guy? Do you know anything about him?
Yes, I know that he hangs out in MMA gyms with Arion.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you know a little more. Ray J had a famous sex tape with Kim Kardashian that leaked a few years back, a very famous sex tape. He's also the brother of Brandy, the singer. You might remember Brandy. He's also
was she the broad on Moesha?
Yes. Yes, she was. That's his sister. But he has a sex tape with Kim Kardashian. That was his claim to fame. So, recently, Ray J wrote a song called I Hit It First. His ode to fucking Kim Kardashian before Kanye West married her. And I want to show you some of these lyrics to show you how great, how cool this Ray J guy is. I had her head going north and her ass going south, but now baby chose to go west. Candles lit with that wine. So candles lit with wine. I don't know what that means. Oh, candles lit and maybe they're drinking wine, perhaps. Money still on my mind. And I gave her that really bomb sex. Going hard in the streets, mobbing with my homies, sipping on good, blowing on OG, me and Ghost sitting clean with the matching rollie. I did that first, so everybody know me. So this guy wrote a song about how he fucked Kim Kardashian. So that's who she took to the gym with her, that piece of shit.
All right.
So,
was he ever in Moesha?
I don't know. I don't think he was. Let me look real quick. I don't believe so. It's entirely possible he was, though. But yeah, he's a real piece of shit. Just to remind everyone, he was apparently on the Sinbad show from 1993. Oh, you know what? He was on Moesha.
Uh-huh.
As D Money. Yeah. He was only on it for like a year, though, so you might not remember him. Moesha was a pretty solid show, though. Were you a fan?
I watched her a few times.
Yeah, so that Ray J is her brother. Ray J had sex with Kim Kardashian, released a sex tape of it. And he wrote a song about having sex with her because he's a really classy fella. And then that's who was in the gym. So, yeah, there, let's move on. There's Cameron. Anything else to say about Cameron?
Yeah. She was doing this photo shoot, and Vinny's looking at his phone. He's like, huh, there's no pictures of me with my girlfriend, but there's like a billion with this Ray J guy. So he went to go see what was going on because he thought he was being replaced. And he already paid for this photo shoot. And he's like, oh, babe, may I have a moment of your time? And
babe,
she's like,
babe.
So she says, sure. And they go over there and he's like, am I your stomping Steve to your Lila Lodge? And she's like, now is not the time or place for this, wet noodles. And she just went back for a photo shoot.
Oh, shit, the stomping Steve. You just tossed out a huge burn there.
I'm just saying that it may have happened to like all four of them, the exact same scenario.
I like it. All right, anything else about her? Let's move on. Who else did you hate?
Nikki,
really? Okay, do tell.
Well, Nikki is sitting at home trying to work an espresso machine, not having much success at it. She probably had the thing for months. Still can't get it to make her a cup of coffee. And she's on the phone with Bree. She's like, it still doesn't work for me, Bree. It's a machine. And Bree's like, a machine? Bree didn't know what a machine was. She wasn't being able to help. And Nikki, so what are you doing? Where are you at? And Bree's like, oh, Brian made a burger. And she's like, he ate a burger? And she's like, no, he made one for me. And Nikki's like all confused. But then there's a knock on the door. So Nikki goes to answer the door, and there's a postman there with a very, very large, oversized package. So Nikki opens it up, and it's this horrendous painting that Natalia had mailed her.
Yes.
And
now this
Nikki
painting,
just Nikki in front of the WWE cameras.
Painting.
What's that?
This painting. Nikki looks enormous. She looks like she's wearing a diaper. But Natty was able to get John's cauliflower ears right.
Yes.
So go on. I just wanted to toss that out there.
But Nikki, on the cameras, on a show that'll be broadcast around the world, just completely buries how horrible it is and how she'll never display it in her home unless Natty's there to see it, not realizing that Natalia may have a television set, may have access to television, and would see this.
Perhaps. That painting. And while we're there, let's talk about the other painting, the Daniel Bryan painting, where Daniel Bryan says the classic line, "You want to take a sign, guy?"
Well, I actually have that as my number one. You want me to ruin my number one?
Go for it. Just go into it.
All right. You're sure you want it now?
Go for it.
All right. He said, "I have a sack of balls on my nose."
My nose looks like testicles. Okay. So, Natty's paintings. The other aspect of Natty's paintings, besides how bad they are, is TJ. And TJ is the greatest part of this episode. Because just right off the bat, he tells her art's fucking terrible when he walks in there. And instead, they should give him for their wedding a vegan blender. That's not even a thing. Oh. And he wanted no part of being connected to that shitty painting at all. He was so mad every time. He's like, "I don't want to touch the box at all." So I'm jumping ahead, but I just wanted to mention that little part. The vegan blender. Have you ever seen a vegan blender, sign guy?
Yes, because you can make any blender vegan.
No, he specifically said a vegan blender.
Well, yeah, but you could not put milk in it and make it vegan.
But he specifically said a vegan blender.
I realize that.
It delighted me. It delighted me a lot. Now, let's talk about Brie Bella, because she was on my most hated. She tells Nikki that her feet are disgusting and that she needs a pedigree and that she's gross.
Pedicure.
That's the first thing. Huh?
Pedicure.
Oh, yeah,
she needs
a pedicure,
not a pedigree.
She needs same thing. Realistically, she needs both. But can you imagine saying those words to a human being that they're disgusting? Like just going, "You're disgusting." So she does it. And then you look at poor Nikki, and Nikki's like, "I know." And she's so sad, and she covers up her feet, and it was the saddest moment of the show. Just this horrible bully, just constantly bullying her sister. Like, that's all she ever does. And it makes me feel so sad for Nikki. Nikki's just like, "I know, I'm gross." Oh. And Breeze is like, "Yeah, you are." Blah. What did you think of that scene, funny guy?
It looked to me like she'd had a pedicure because her nails were clearly polished and trimmed.
I don't know. But yeah, that was the main reason I hated Brie. Of course, there was also the stuff with her calling Summer Rae selfish when you're Brie Bella. That's always fun. Just someone who is the most selfish sack of human waste calling someone else selfish. It's always a delight. So, I don't know. There wasn't a lot to hate Brie for. She wasn't in it very much, but there is enough. Any other thoughts from you?
Not on Brie Bella, really, other than...
Yeah.
Why would she eat a burger from Daniel
Bryan?
Why would
she eat a burger?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, Daniel Bryan, he's probably harping on, hey, you should be a vegan and you'll not eat the meat. I can make you something vegetarian. She's like, no, I want a burger. Make it. So he's over there just grilling hamburgers for her.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan, he's going to be in Indianapolis at the car show on Valentine's Day. And I'm really excited to go to tell Daniel Bryan about the time I took Bryan Danielson to Taco Bell.
Wouldn't he have lived through that and have recollection of it so he wouldn't need to be reminded?
We'll see.
Are you also going to slip him one of our cards?
No, there is no way I'm going to tell him about this show. But I am probably going to take a Razor Ramon shirt to give to him.
All right. Are you also going to ask him about the time he and I discussed Jason Ayers at length in Lake Forest Park, Washington?
Yes. I will also I'm going to mention Bryce Remsburg and Jason Ayers and all the people I know. Chris Hero, all his buddies that I know quite well. Just so he'll think I'm a cool dude, and then maybe we'll hang out afterwards.
Could you also remind him the time he got really sad when I went to Northgate and I didn't have a camera?
Yes, I will remind him of that.
Because he got really sad. He was hugely disappointed. And I'm like, I'm sorry I don't have a camera. He's like, oh, well, that's okay. But he was sad. And then when I showed up the next day at Lake Forest Park, his eyes bugged out of his head, and he was so excited. And he's like, you came back for the picture. I'm like, yeah, I did. And he was all excited.
Well, we'll see. We'll just see. Depends how – I really think we'll probably get a good 10 minutes to stand around talking with him.
All right.
On with the show, because I got to keep going. Who else did you hate?
Eva Marie.
All right, going to it.
Well, Eva Marie, she was just like way too full of herself this episode. She goes to Miss Sandra, and Miss Sandra is trying to help her with her outfit.
Oh, can I mention the what she says there?
All right, go ahead.
Her description of Eva Marie's vagina. She calls Eva Marie's vagina Miss Lucy.
She did.
Why would you call a vagina Lucy? That implies that it's like a very loose vagina. Hey, your old Miss Lucy's flopping around down there. Miss Lucy.
Well, Miss Lucy was just peeking out, and Miss Sandra wanted to help cover that because Miss Sandra knew they can't show that on a rated PG network show.
Oh, they can't
and
show
Eva
a
Marie
gaping.
Like, oh no,
they can't show a gaping vagina with flapping labias just plopping out of it. They can't show that.
No, but Eva Marie was like, I see nothing wrong with it. I'll just take it as it is. And Miss Sanders like, you can't do that. And Eva Marie was just like, not caring about Miss Sanders' opinion. And then Eva Marie gets paired up with Summer, and Eva Marie's like,
oh. The training montage.
Well, before that, in her talking head point, she's like, oh, we get to be a tag team combination pairing. And it's like she didn't even know, you know, how to phrase being a tag team. She's like, I'm so new. I can't believe they gave me this opportunity. And I'm thinking, neither can most of the world. And she's not caring that this tag team has no chance at doing anything because neither of them at that point knew a thing at all.
And they
but
were
they
trying
go to
teach each other.
Yeah, they go to the, I don't even think it was the NXT training facility. It was like some random place with a beat up old small ring. And Summer Rae's like, okay, do you need to fix anything, or is this correct? And Eva Marie's like, I don't really know. And Summer Rae's like, well, I don't really know. And Eva's like, well, I have this hectic schedule, and I travel, so I don't have time to learn this wrestling stuff. So we're going to have to wrestle without me knowing how to wrestle and just explain to the fans that I don't have time for it. And Some are like, but this is a live show and we can't edit it. And even Marie's like, I'm tired when I travel. The fans will understand. I'll just say I'm tired. They're like, that's fine, Eva Marie. We understand. And she just didn't get it. And then when Summer, like, went to Corano and said, the broad sucks. Get me out of this before we ruin
imagine
your television
that.
Show.
Yeah, imagine that. Summer Rae saying, you're the worst.
And Corano, when he hears that, he's like, dear Thez in heaven, what did we do? How drunk were we? And so he's like, what's your idea? We can get out of this and save the TV show, even though it's Superstars, which doesn't really count. And she's like, well, put Tamina in there. Tamina knows how to wrestle. And then rather than tag Eva Marie at any point in the match, Summer's just like, we'll just phase her out like she doesn't exist and bury her in front of the entire crowd.
It was the fakest thing on the show maybe in a while.
What about
like
Natty's dye
most...
job?
Huh?
What about Natty's dye job?
Everything on this show is wacky. What else? Anything else you hated?
That was my three.
All right. I liked Vinny. Of course, as always, I love Vinny. They're in the car. Cameron's doing that horrible song. And then she starts talking about her stupid-ass dog, Glitty, about how it's her baby. And Vinny straight up says, no, that's not your baby. He tells her that her dog isn't her baby. It was so good. He's just a delight. His singing was amazing. You know it's time to go. Hey, babe, you know it's time to blow. She's so good. And then when Vinny was just stalking around, creeping around the streets, looking for paparazzi, going, look, babe, a paparazzi right there. It was so good. And then he called himself the Armenian David Beckham. How can you dislike that guy, Simon? He's the best.
Well, I felt bad for poor Vinny when he thought he was getting Stomping Steve. He's like, I paid $5,000 for this photo shoot, and you're going to be with another man? And she was like,
Vinny,
yeah.
Vinny is not a kookold.
Well, apparently it happened.
Yeah. Vinny is a kookold. Definitely is.
But, yeah,
he got
Stomping Steve'd. He got Stomping Steve'd.
He got Stomping Steve'd all over the damn place.
$5,000 on a photo shoot. And Ariane's like, yeah, I'm going to be with this other guy that might get me in the press. And, by the way, he has full control of these pictures to use as he sees fit.
All right, so who'd you like?
Number three, I had Miss Sandra.
Yep, she was on mine, too. Tell me.
Miss Sandra, she flat out
Yeah, we kind of went over it already, but yeah.
So she flat out told her, Miss Lucy's everywhere. We got to fix this. And then when Eva Marie
is flopping out of this.
When Eva Marie was like, oh, I think it's fine. And then Miss Sandra is looking at her and the cookie and the potatoes, you know. He's like, no, we need to fix it. You can't go on TV like that.
What did she
say? And Eva Marie still.
Her asshole, what did she say? Her asshole will take pictures.
Yes. And then when Eva Marie just wouldn't let it go, Miss Sandra's like, talk to me like that one more time. It'll be the last outfit you ever get.
Yes. But what does your asshole will take pictures mean?
I have no clue. I tried to think of what it could mean, and I came up with nothing.
Keep it over, girl. You'll be taking pictures with that asshole. hey, girl. If you even bend over to pick up to tie your shoe, you're gonna be farting out pictures of everybody with your butthole. What is she talking about?
I have no idea.
That was the craziest thing. First off, we got her talking about how loose and gaping Eva Marie's vagina is. And then she's talking about how Eva Marie's going to take pictures with her butthole. Oh, excellent scene. That was probably my favorite scene of the show, that right there. It was so good.
Now, do you think it's like a Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura reference?
Well, that's just a butthole talking. That's not taking pictures.
Well, maybe it did multiple things. Maybe Ace Ventura didn't explore the full limit of what it could do.
Did it go to school for photography like most girls do? Yeah. I'm going to, this is an asshole talking on you. Oh, you know, usually I just sit around and stink up the place, but I really think I want to go to college for photography. And it's like, my art's very important to me. You know, my art's real meaningful. Hey, come here, let me bend over. I'll take a picture of you. It'll be beautiful. Who else did you like?
TJ.
Yep, me too.
Now, TJ knew that Natty's horrible, wretched plan of tying up this enormous box, which holds like a very small portrait, to a small compact rental car was going to fail.
Well, but she didn't think so because she was tying it up with her pantyhose and her nylons.
And wrist tape. And TJ knew it wasn't going to work. He told her it wasn't going to work.
Yeah,
but she's like, well, I refuse to listen to
you.
What?
Nothing. Go on.
So, they get in this car, and TJ goes, oh, God. It was amazing. Like a trucker pulling a horn.
Oh, no, yes.
That was the greatest scene I'd ever seen ever from TJ. More charisma from that than he's ever shown ever in his life.
It flops off. And then when they go back to get it, he's like, I don't want to touch the box at all. He doesn't help her at all. And he's awesome.
Yeah, like wrist tape and pantyhose. Who would have thought that would have failed to hold it?
And then he says my favorite line, though. Then he says, oh, I can't wait until that box falls off again.
And, like, probably his most famous of all lines, when the box is starting to fly off, he just says, uh-oh.
Ah, man.
And then poor Natty, she wasn't concerned that she may have caused a major accident on an interstate where the people could have died. She's like, my painting's on the road. We have to go back. And TJ's like, leave it. Just leave it behind. She didn't want to get arrested.
Anyone else?
My number one was Brian this week.
Yeah, he had the testicle. We went over anything you want to say beyond that?
Yes. Now,
okay.
He stood there and he listened to Natalia describe this portrait and how Louis helped her and she left the paw prints in there and she wanted to give them something deeply meaningful that no one else in the world would have.
And
he stood there with this
about it.
Yeah, just with this very serious look, and he said, yes, I see that. That's very nice. And when Natty walked away, he looked at his wife, the bee, and he said, there's no way we can hang this in the house. And
my
nose like, well,
is a testicle.
Yes. And Bree's like, well, we'll have to put it in the closet because she's thinking Natty will eventually fly to her home, too, and want to see it. And Brian's like, our closet space is already at a limit. Kind of like he was going to just throw it in the dumpster as he left the arena. You could tell that was in his mind.
Yes.
But he didn't want to hurt poor Natalia's feelings, but he was like, there's no way I'm having people look at my sack of balls on my face.
Well, we got to wrap it up because I got people here.
I'm going to guess it's Courtney's mother again.
No, it's Cody.
Are you sure he didn't bring Courtney's mother?
It's possible. But
well,
I haven't been out there yet.
You should check?
Let me go look real quick. Let me go look real quick.
It could be.
Is Scritney's mom here? Nope. I see Jonathan Gelfius. How you doing? I see Gabby. I see Beth. I see a bunch of children. Scritney's mom.
Are any of them
here.
The Hogan kids?
Are any of you the Hogan children? Nope. She's met Hulk Hogan, though. So is Sign Guy.
Yeah, that's true. I have.
All right. Nope, nothing there. All right, so let's wrap it up. What do you got going on?
Well, for Friday, we're taking the week off from Sign Guy's wrestling show. But
why?
Because, you know, we usually take Christmas off. QT agreed that be hard to find the guests that day, so we usually just take
Christmas
it off.
Christmas is one of the biggest days of the year for wrestling, historically.
That's true, but, and hopefully that was a WCWO reference since they run on Christmas Day, but, you know, we decided we'd take it off because it'd be hard to find the guest that was free that day, unless we got Joseph Schwartz
again. I'll be your guest.
He's Jewish.
But, I'll be your guest.
Again?
I can do a real guest spot.
All right. We might. But, there'll be some NBA games to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then Sunday on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have your wife, Beth Sharp, to wrap up BS Month. Hopefully she'll show
it.
Up because BS Month has been an utter disaster so far.
Really?
Really.
Really. Well, she was my savior and my shining light, so she will.
And then from there,
too.
I got to beeline it down to Portland, Oregon, count a few pinfalls, check for a few submissions there at NWA Blue Collar.
How is Paul Moonshine doing?
He's not too good. I don't know if you saw it yet, but he posted a brand new promo. He showed the scar, horrible-looking, nasty scar he's got, where he had emergency neck surgery. He is swearing his son, LB Moonshine, will walk away with the NWA Blue Collar Heavyweight title.
Anything else going on?
We had one of the guys from the Undisputed Wrestling show at NWA Blue Collar this past week.
Yes.
Yeah. Will Huckabee. He left not
yeah,
a
heard.
Champion.
I saw the picture. You with him.
There were multiple pictures of me with him because
I
was
one.
In his match.
Oh, were you?
Yes, I was.
I saw one of you in your Sonics hat. That's the one I saw.
Uh-huh. Yes, that was while he was still the Continental Champion, but when he left that arena, he was not.
He is now no longer. Connie is still in his possession, but he is an excellent good brother. I like Will Huckabee a lot.
Yeah. He explained some things about the Undisputed Wrestling show the general public has no idea, Boot. Put a whole new light on that show for me.
Oh, the scuttlebutt.
I don't think I can disclose it because I believe he does not want it for public consumption, but puts a whole new spin on things.
Oof. Anything else going on?
Well, Santa Claus will be here. JoJo, the time-traveling mole baby, is going to remind him I have two chimneys and to pick the right one, and then I'll leave him
two
a fish
chimneys.
Sandwich.
Yes. Excellent. What kind of fish?
Probably just a white fish, just to be sure.
Yeah. That's the easiest one. I mean, it's hard to get your hands on some nice halibut or something right now. Or, you know what? I could go for a great catfish sandwich right now.
Catfish is really good. Halibut is easy to
great.
Procure, but it's extremely expensive right now.
What is halibut?
Yes.
I haven't had any for a while.
Well, if you get just your standard Gorton's Fisherman bag of halibut fillets,
yeah,
might cost you $20, $25.
Oof, that's a lot.
It really is.
And I'm more of a freshwater fish guy. You know, I like my bluegill, my red ear, my crappie, any type of bass. You know, the catfish. So for me, it's all about the freshwater fish. The saltwater fish, they are fine, but they have just that different taste. You know.
Are you a fan of steak fish, like your marlins, your swordfish, your shark?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a fan of any fish. Like, I love fish. Seafood is the best. But I'm just saying I would prefer my freshwater fish because, you know, that's what I grew up eating. We fished constantly, so. Yeah. You know how great the lakes around Bartholomew County are, son, guy? You grew up here.
Yeah. Now, did you ever venture out to Lake Hardy to fish?
Oh, yeah. We went there a few times. We were always we always went to Camp Atterbury for fishing, usually to Lake Pisgah. However, there's there's this great gravel pit. It's in Edinburgh. It's basically right across the street from the liquor store and Outer Limits and the Domino's. Excellent, excellent crappie you'll pull out of there. Some of the biggest ones you'll see.
Huh. How often do you fish that?
I don't really. I kind of hate fishing because I find it boring. But my dad goes a lot. My dad has his own, he makes lures and stuff and sells them around the county. Yeah.
Now, QT Vokes was talking the other day to T-Rex, and he suggested that young Kane James use his head as a fishing lure because he likes to change the color of his hair every couple of weeks. I don't know if that would
be a very good fishing lure.
You could suggest it to your dad as an option. Maybe Kane James would fly out and help your dad catch these crappie.
What do you think of crappie, son guy? Are they a fish you enjoy?
I don't mind it.
I think it's one of the tastiest of the freshwater fish, save for a good catfish, which can sometimes get real gamey and gross. And I think bass is quite possibly the largemouth bass is. As long as it's not too big a one. So, total fillets with Sign Guy and Rex. Let's wrap it up. What do I got going on? Tomorrow I'll go to Christmas at my grandfather's house, Christmas Eve. It's what we've done ever since I was born. We've gone there on Christmas Eve, so for 35 years.
Does he serve a good fish?
On Christmas Eve, they do an oyster stew. That's just been what they've done, an oyster stew and pizza. I don't know. But then they would always cook the real meal on Christmas Day, so Christmas Eve was just like, take care of quick stuff and have fun. My father, however, he cooks excellent fish. He's an excellent, excellent fish fryer.
Is he going to fix the fish on Christmas Day then?
Unfortunately, no. It's going to be ham on Christmas Day. I wish it was fish. We'll probably have a fish fry soon. They've got a bunch in the freezer we need to gobble up. So if you're ever around, I'll try to make a shark family fish fry for you, and your life will be changed.
All right.
Maybe
it would be shark, and it'd be like a shark family.
No, it'll be like bluegill, red ear, crappie, the usual, panfish, and the like. Razor Ramones, we got a bunch of stuff that we're going to be doing soon. January 3rd, we're playing at the Columbus Bar with, Saber Wolf, whatever they're called now. They changed the name. January 29th, we're playing in the South Bend area somewhere with some people. I forget. It'll be on our Facebook. I'm going to put it up some point. February 26th, we're playing in Evansville with Best Band in the World, Be My Doppelganger. We still got to record that song for Colt's band. I don't know. That's about it. Sign Guy, you have a Merry Christmas. We love you here in the Sharp household and wish you the best.
All right. Enjoy the scones and tea, you gun jumper.
I will, and enjoy your present because you're gonna. I can't wait. You should go open it after the show. Go open it now.
That would make me a gun jumper. I have to have some self-control. One of us has to.
I know. All right. Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody. Until next. Oh, it won't be New Year. Okay, just Happy Christmas thing. Listen, I've drank a bunch of beers. All right. Till next time. Total Dudes, Langan Rex. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Bye.